This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يروي الإمامان البخاري ومسلم كل في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم حديث نين collection of both Bukhari and Muslim within authentic chain narration obviously narrated to us by Abu Huraira. And the theme of Hajj is short this year. Last year I did around a month actually now that I look at it. Like almost a full month of just a hadith about that. This year is a little bit shorter, just maybe a week or so before Hajj. And that's okay, just to kind of keep things a little bit variable. So I'll just narrate for you specific hadith that are very famous about Hajj, just to kind of encourage it and also allow us to enjoy the ritual, even though we're not necessarily participating in it ourselves. And this hadith here is a famous one that we all know quite well, that the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Man hajja فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ." Those who perform Hajj and do not fall into fisq or rafath. And fisq is when you deviate and you sin or you fall off the path. And rafath is when you perform any form of sexual expression at all is rafath. Whether it's obviously haram is that's a whole musibah, but rafath is even was talking about halal. It's some form of sexual inclination with your spouse. So if you perform Hajj and you stay away from sin, from fisq, from deviating from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before acting in a way that's not becoming of a Muslim or behaving in manners that are offensive or harmful to others, and you stay away from that piece, which is falling into a sin of that sort, which is rafath. It's a very specific word, by the way, in the Quran. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. So, because it's halal, rafath is a word, it doesn't necessarily mean the going all the way, but it's any form of sexual expression. رَجَعَ this is the punchline, obviously, of this hadith. رَجَعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. He returns, this person returns to the state that they were in the day their mother gave birth to them. Which is sinless. It's sinless. Meaning nothing. It's completely wiped. Now, it goes without saying that sins that are related to people's oppression, if you took a haq from someone or you, that sticks around. Unfortunately, that never goes away. That doesn't matter how many hajj you do. I have heard stories in my life that are very... I know someone who basically took the inheritance of all of his family, everybody. It wasn't just his sisters, everyone, including the brothers. And he performs Hajj every year. He performs Hajj every single year. And I remember my sheikh told him, every Hajj you perform, you dive deeper into Jahannam with. He told him, every Hajj you perform, you dive deeper. Told him, how could you say that? He said, because you're using money that's haram for it. And you're taking away the right of your siblings to go to Hajj. They should have been going with that money, because that's theirs. So be very careful. The beauty of Hajj has to be understood within that context. Because as human beings, we tend to run away from that piece. Just beware that the huquq of Bani Adam are never forgiven, regardless of what you do. Not even shahada, not even dying as a martyr on the battlefield for the sake of Allah, will remove the dain. Forget about the sin that are based with oppression. Not even dain, not even a loan, not even debt. If you're in debt to someone, you're in debt to someone. Doesn't matter what you do for the sake of Allah. If you're in debt to them, you owe them, and you will pay them. If not with your wealth, with your hasanat, period. So be very careful. Because these things are never, they're never, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his part of it. That's what he's telling you. Hajj, he will wipe your slate clean from anything that has to do with his rights upon you subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. Whatever you did that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the sins that harmed other people, there's always a portion of them that is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right upon you. All of that will be forgiven. It's an amazing offer. It is insane offer. There's no deal that comes remotely close to a Hajj Mabrur. And for you to actually go back to that state where you're sinless, just make sure you didn't harm people. Honestly, this hadith, whenever it was narrated to me, growing up or taught it, was never taught it in the context of Hajj ever. It was always in the context of huquq. Like the Shaykh, they always narrated this hadith to tell us, beware from harming other people. It's really interesting. This is how they use this hadith. Because they show you, here's how easy it is. for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely pardon you, to remove all of your sin. So you are going to do well, inshallah. Just make sure you don't cross that line of human harm. Just don't cross that line. Just don't come yawm al-qiyamah and you've hit that person and took the right of that person and mistreated that person. Don't do that. And honestly, there's so many ways for you to hajj. You go to hajj, just don't do fisq. How hard is it to go to hajj and not curse people out? It's like 3 or 4 days. You can't just, well, just hold your tongue for 3 or 4 days. Just don't speak to anybody. Just do tasbih and make dua. And but mu'akhidha, yani rafath. Yani I don't understand it, honestly, but before hajj and after hajj, she's there. She ain't going nowhere. Yeah? So just maybe don't do it during hajj. It's not that difficult when you think about it. Like, he didn't make these conditions impossible. Oh, this is hard. No, not performing fisq and hajj is not that hard. Not performing rafat, not that hard either. The hard pieces don't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with mal haram. Don't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with human harm. With some haq, some right that you transgressed against or trespassed over. And you'll be fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to find ways to forgive you. And this hajj will... I love the wording, raja ka yawmi waladathu ummu. It's like you're new. you did nothing. It's wiped. There's nothing. Go ahead. Start over again. Let's start over. He makes an offering, subhanAllah. Let's start over. Come do your pilgrimage to me. Come to me. Come and walk in the footsteps of the big ones. Walk in their footsteps, learn the symbolism in all these actions, understand what it means to be human and what it means to be my servant, and we'll restart this whole relationship. We'll just forget about all that happened before, and we'll start fresh. I'll keep the good stuff, I'll get rid of the bad stuff, we start fresh. Amazing offer. Nothing comes close to it. Just don't come to him with that, because that piece, it's not because he can't forgive it. Jalla Jalla, he can do whatever he wants. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his rights. Other people's rights, they have to forgive it. For him to forgive other people's rights is kind of, and it's to a certain degree, not fair to them. You know, if you mistreat me, and then my friend forgives you if I don't accept that, that's not fair to me. Why are you forgiving? It's my right, I'll forgive it. Why are you forgiving it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just and is the fair, and he would never do that. Jalla jalalullah. It's a beautiful hadith to reflect upon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to perform hajj mabrur, inshaAllah, fi jam'an. If not this year, inshallah, in many years to come. يروي الإمام البخاري ومسلم كل في صحيحه عن أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسخ راجع كيوم ولدته أمه صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سمعك بحمد لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله